Well, today we are moving on with our next installment of our series from the Bible Mastery series here, looking at the reality of the abundant life. For the abundant life in this aspect is a spirit-filled life. If we wish to live the abundant life, it needs to be a spirit-filled life. And what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, open your Bibles, if you would please, to Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 8, and we're going to go through 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, and going through 20. Now, I'm going to preface a little bit while you're turning there, because here in chapter 5, in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is teaching the church at Ephesus that they need to be imitators of God, that they need to remember who they are, and that they are to come out of this world and put aside such things as obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, impurity or greed, sexual immorality. All of these things must be put aside, and that they must be changed, that they must be emptied of the things of this world and filled with the things of God. Okay? So as we pick up here in verse 8, here is what the apostle has to say to us. He says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord, having nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and the Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed be the word of the Lord to our immortal souls." The key verse here that I want us to think about, the key verse here that I want us to really focus on, is verse 18. Now, I read all of that because I wanted you to understand just how important this one verse is, because this verse is crouched right in the center of all of this. And it really is the punch verse when I look at what's being spoken here, because it's telling us to do a bunch of stuff, and then it says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because what God's telling us here is we can't do all this stuff that is spoken of beforehand lest we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what I was trying to teach the children here. Without the Holy Spirit, we just kind of sit there and things happen and we have very little control. But when the Holy Spirit takes control over us, we have a course, we have a direction, and we have the power to do and be the things that God has for us in our lives. You and I, we think we have a sense of power. We think we have a sense of purpose. Well, if that's the case, why does so much of what we do end in turmoil, strife, and just really hard physical labor, and you wonder what you're getting out of it? Okay? Think about your life. Think about how you've gotten to where you are. Think about the things that you know, and we spoke about this in our class this morning. Why is it that we always wait until, you know, we've fallen on our faces before we call out to God? Because we think we can, right? We're the little engine that thought we could. And just like that little engine needed to be shoveled full of coal, so too we need to be full of the Holy Spirit, or we're never going to make it over the mountain, all right? And we need to remember that there's someone here to fill us, okay? Because it's amazing when we think about what happens to us as Christians. Because every Christian is indwelt with the Holy Spirit, correct? If you're truly in Christ, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And I think it's an amazing concept, because to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit means what? Means this one very simple thing. You will be convicted of your sin. That's all it means. That is all it means. If you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, God dwells in you concerning Himself. And you will be convicted of your sins. God will bring them up before you, not to chase you away from Him, but to draw you to Him. Okay? That's all it means. Now, do you want to live the abundant life? Do you want to live the life full? Do you want to live the life that God has for you in Christ Jesus, that you will achieve the goals to which God has truly sent you forward in this world? Because remember, the Word of God does not go out and return void. Amen? And you have been spoken from the beginning of time. Your name was given to you from the beginning of time. From before the beginning of time, God knew who you were. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life. But you need to submit yourselves to Him. Because remember, God's a gentleman. He's going to be there for you and with you. And He's not going to force anything upon you. But He's going to wait for you to call upon Him. As we found out in our study today. God didn't move until what? The people called out. And when the people called out, God did what? He sent His rescue. He brought to them His help. And then He said to them what? Worship me. And isn't it amazing? Because isn't that what it says right here in this scripture too? Because once we receive the Holy Spirit and we're filled, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always, what? Giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is truly in charge. And He's trying to teach us some very big realities in our lives. All right? And isn't it cool? I mean, for all of you who are in our discipleship classes, and for those of you who aren't, you need to be there. Because I'm telling you right now, we are truly being instructed, not only in our discipleship classes, but right out here. And I'm not putting this stuff together because they buy the books for our study, and God is directing Miss Sally and I the places that we're supposed to be going in bringing the worship. And the two meet completely and totally. And that is an awesome and amazing thing. And for those people out there who are listening on our internet and what have you, if you're in the Holy Spirit, the very same realities are going to happen for them. Amen? The things that they're hearing even now are going to be manifest in their lives in such a way that they will know that God's speaking to them. Amen? And we need to understand that is the love of God. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit, because He is in control of all things and makes all things come unto that path. You and I have to understand that when we are indwelt, does that mean we have it all together? No. We are imperfect. Does that mean that we're able to make it over the toughest obstacles? No. Because we are weak. Does that mean that we are completely and 100%, we're in Christ and the Holy Spirit's in us and we're fully mature, we know it all. We got it all together. Absolutely not. When we come to the Lord, when we're walking and we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, we are so immature, it's unreal. We think we're all grown up. I mean, even those of us who are in Christ Jesus now who are being filled with the Holy Spirit, how many of us are completely mature in Christ? Okay? How many of us are completely perfect in Christ? How many of us are completely strong in Christ? We can take care of all things. Nothing that comes our way can outdo us. No. Because that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, to help us walk this life. Because there's a day and a time coming. There is a day and a time coming that we will never have to concern ourselves with these things again. Because in that day, we will be as He is. Okay? That is an amazing thing that I cannot understand. I can't even fathom. Because we will be strong. We will be perfect. And we will be completely mature. Not because of ourselves, but because of God's grace in us, making us such through the power of His Holy Spirit. Because at that point in time, we've graduated from this life, and we've gone on into the next, and we're talking in the millennium. and unto eternity, when you and I will be transformed by the grace and glory of God into perfect beings with our spiritual bodies. But until that day, you and I are definitely in a body that is immature, imperfect, and weak. Yes, we are indwelt, but it's a different thing to be indwelt than it is to be filled with the Spirit. Because to be filled with the Spirit means that, you know, because when we're indwelt, we have God, right? God's in us. But when we are filled with the Spirit, that means He has us. Okay? We have submitted ourselves to Him. He has us. Not because He forced Himself upon us, but because we gave ourselves to Him in love. We gave ourselves to Him because we know we can't do it. Okay? Now, I think it's amazing. You all know I went to college, got a bachelor's degree, and that qualified me to preach, right? Wrong. God placed a calling upon my life, which means He anointed me. I went to school because that's what men say you have to do. There's no man of God that has to go to school. Did the Apostle Paul go to school? Did he go to school, Bob? The school of hard knocks. Under what? Oh, yeah, he was, and he was, and you're very right. He was, but was he anointed of God? Okay? Yeah, he was. He was anointed what? Paul, God showed him all the things that he was going to have to do, all the things that were going to have to take place in his life. So, and by that I mean, did he go to an academy? No, he didn't. Okay? He didn't. Did Peter go to an academy? Did John go to an academy? You know, I want you to think about this stuff. Because if God's going to use you, do you think you need to have any kind of special training? The reality is no. If God's going to use you, the power of the Holy Spirit that you submit to will fill you to all understanding. And that's one of the things that we need to truly understand. God is not interested in educations and degrees. That's wonderful if you do it, and I would highly recommend it. I mean, I've got a master's degree now. Why did I do all that? I did it because I want you folks to understand I too need to continue to grow and mature. And this is the way we do it in our world today. I go to others who have more education and more understanding about God than I do so that I can bring what they've taught me to you. And thereby you grow in that reality. Because if I'm not willing to submit myself to that understanding, to come under God's authority and grow, are you going to grow? No. So when the Holy Spirit says to me, I want you to learn, I want you to take time out, I want you to study who I am, and I want you to put it into practice, don't you think I should do it? Yes, and so too should you. All right? But no education in this world is going to do what the Holy Spirit's going to do in you. And to me, that's one of the most amazing realities. You and I need to come under that Spirit that we can be filled so that we are then inspired to do the things of God. For the Spirit of God possesses us. The Spirit of God empowers us. The Spirit of God leads us. And the Spirit of God controls us when we submit to the Holy Spirit and are filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? There's a difference between being filled and being indwelt. Because to be indwelt, all that does, as I said before, please check the Scriptures. Don't believe me. Believe what the Scriptures say. But to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit simply means that you will be convicted of your sins. That's scriptural. That is completely and totally scriptural. The Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is here to convict men of their sins, right? That's what being indwelt means. To be filled comes and happens when you are born again. So many people come to Christ and they receive salvation, but they don't take it any further. Remember what I taught you? They take it to the cross, but they don't bring it into the resurrection. They take it to the cross, but they don't bring it into the resurrection. You and I have been resurrected to live a new life in Jesus Christ. not to simply cover an old one that we're continuing to live in. The old is what? Gone. The new has come. And we must live in that newness of life. And that newness of life, to live that abundant life, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just as I taught the children. Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we can rise to new heights. We'll be able to do things that we have never thought we could do. I want you to think about that. What are your dreams? Okay? Do you dare to dream God's dreams? How many times has something come up in your life and you've said, oh no, I can't do that? Why? Because we were told when we were children, think about this. I really want you to think about this. We were told when we were children, oh, you can't do that. That's too hard. That's too difficult. And our world continues to tell us that stuff today. Oh, you can't do that. Don't, you know, there's somebody else that'll do that. Don't you worry about that. You know, what makes you think you can achieve that? Really? I want you to think about every one of the people that we looked at when we were looking at the folks in the Hall of Faith. Okay? What made David so special? What made Moses so special? What made Gideon so special? What made any one of those men or women special? God. Exactly, Missy. God. No human being, no government, no education, nothing outside of God. And in God, He raised those people up to do miraculous things, things that were inconceivable. But yet in God, as they submitted their lives to Him, they were empowered that 300 men took out 300,000. Okay? They were empowered that one man led an entire nation out of bondage, and not a sword, not an arrow, or not a spear was drawn. When we begin to live a Holy Spirit-filled life, we will begin to experience the miracles. We will begin to experience the power. We will begin to experience the grace that only comes as we submit ourselves to God. Now, I want you to think about something. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what are the types of things that the Holy Spirit does with us and in us and for us? Okay? When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the first thing that I want us to understand is the reality that we have joy, that we are truly filled with a joy that is inexpressible, that is incomprehensible, and it cannot be taken away. Even in the midst of our trials and sufferings, we can have joy. Paul, when he was in prison, what was he doing? Sitting around saying, woe is me, I can't believe I'm here. What did I do to deserve this? No, he was in there singing psalms. He was praising God. He was bringing people to the word of Christ because he was filled with that Holy Spirit, like that balloon was going off. Wee! So was Paul. He was going, we are having fun because we're right where God wants us to be, and I know I'm supposed to be here. And he won everyone in that prison to Jesus Christ. Amen, to the glory of God. And that's what we need to remember. No matter where we are, no matter what's going on in our lives, are we sitting back and saying, oh, poor me? Or are we saying, we love God? This is great because He's going to show glory to Himself through me. But you know what I see most Christians doing? They curl up with their what are those things called you put on, you know, Snuggies, yeah, they curl up with their Snuggies and they sit in their house and turn the lights off and say, nobody loves me. Really? Really? That's a lie straight out of hell. And Satan wants you to buy that because as soon as you do, as soon as you take that check to the bank, he's got you locked in. But when you cast that out, get that Snuggie off, throw it away, and start moving out, even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. Remember, Paul got knocked off of his horse because he thought he had it right, didn't he? And God showed him that he was really blind. And when the when the scales came off his eyes, he saw wholly differently, didn't he? And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to take the scales off our eyes, that we can see wholly differently, that we can grow in that grace and understand that that joy is constantly there. Where do I get that from? Well, I just read it to you. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. For what? Some of the stuff that doesn't hurt? No, everything in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You and I need to be filled that we might have joy. We need to be filled for acts of service. In chapter 6 of the book of Acts, in chapter 3, it tells us that they were to choose men who were filled with the Holy Spirit, that they would become the deacons of the church, that they would do the service to the church, okay? Because God didn't say, yeah, choose a couple guys that you like. What did he say? He said, choose men who are filled with the Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit empowers us unto the works of God. If we do it by our own works, they're the works of our sin nature. Please get that. If it's empowered by God, they are the works of God, holy and pleasing unto the Lord. But if they're our works, they're the works of our sin nature and are selfish in their very core. There's a lot of good people who've made orphanages and hospitals and all kinds of things good considered by the world, but yet those very people are going to find themselves in the burning flames of hell because nothing they did was in the power of the Holy Spirit. What they did was in the power of their sin nature for their own glory. That's a truth, folks. That's a truth. We are also filled with the power for witnessing. Remember how that balloon was screaming and I used that to talk about the witness? Okay. How many of us understand that that's one of the things we're supposed to do? That is one of the things that we're supposed to do. Turn in your Bibles to Acts 1 and 8. Acts 1 and 8. And these aren't my words, these are Jesus' words. If you got a red letter Bible, this is one of the last things he said before he went away. And it's important for us to hear these words today. I want you to repeat with me verse 8 of the first chapter of the book of Acts. All right? Just verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What does that say? You will be my witnesses. Okay, this is a command. This is one of the things that the Holy Spirit will do in you. You cannot love God and be filled with the Holy Spirit and not praise Him. It just can't happen. The Holy Spirit must give glory to the Father because He is the third member of the Trinity. Everything that the Holy Spirit does, everything that Christ does, is to what? Glorify the Father. And we need to understand that if we're truly in the Holy Spirit, we can't help but speak that reality that God has given us the power to overcome. And through that, we give Him the glory. You will witness to God if the Holy Spirit is upon you, because you will be filled unto a witnessing agent. Okay? We will be filled unto the acts of service. We will be filled that we might have joy. We're also going to be filled that we will walk in the Spirit. Okay? Now, I think this is an amazing thing, because I find it happening to me all the time. And I want you to look at this, because then we're going to talk about it for just a moment. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. We're going to Galatians 5, and we're going to look at 16 through 26. Galatians. Galatians book of Galatians, chapter 5. And verses 16 through 26. Thus saith the Lord through the word. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. When we keep in step with the Spirit, we are walking with the Holy Spirit, and we are walking in the fruits of joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You and I are filled with such a manner that when we're walking with the Holy Spirit, we cannot sin. Did you just read that? When you are walking with the Spirit, say that a third time. When you are walking with the Spirit and the Spirit is walking with you, you cannot sin. Because the fruit of the Spirit, there's no sin in it. Okay, it says, what does it say there? Read that. It says to us, against such thing there is what? So if there's no law, there's no sin. Do you see where I'm getting this? Am I making this up? Or does the Word say this? The Word says this. And if the Word says this, who has said it? God has said it. So if you and I are walking in the Spirit, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we're walking in Him and Him in us, we're walking hand in hand, we can't sin. But guess what happens, brothers and sisters? We let go sometimes, don't we? Because something comes our way and it catches our eye. It's, you know, it's the little kid walking down the aisle at Wally World. Okay? We're going down the aisle and they see that nice little shiny bauble and they got to have it. They're a great kid until they see that bauble and all of a sudden they got to have it. Oh, mommy, can I have it? No, you can't have that. Come on, we're going. Oh, but mommy. And the next thing you know, they're laying on the floor kicking and screaming and bawling and throwing a temper tantrum right there in the middle of the store. Everybody's attention is drawn on these kids, right? And I'm sure you've seen it. I know I have. I can remember my sister doing it. And you know what? I loved my mom's response. She looked at her and said, man, I don't know whose kid that is. And she just started walking away. I will never forget that because I'm standing there thinking, but mom, that's your daughter. That's my sister. And that's the reality of God, because when we start acting like that, He says, you ain't mine. Where are you? Where have you gone? And He tries to call us back. And when we begin to walk with Him and in Him and Him in us, we are filled to the point that we can truly walk in the Spirit and we cannot sin. How many of you want to walk a sinless life? Oh man, I know I do. How many of you are there yet? Right. We all need to grow in this, don't we? We need to be infilled every day. And that's one of the awesome things about the Holy Spirit. If you continue to look throughout the Scriptures, you will find that the Spirit is filling everybody in the Scriptures. The Spirit fills them over and over and over again. pouring out into their lives and all around them, so that their lives may be poured out into the people around them. Peace like a river. Remember we sang that song? There was a reason that that song was there. And it wasn't because Miss Sally and I decided, oh, that would be a good one. The Lord said, this is what I want you to teach. And that's what I taught Miss Sally when she said about this song. I said, oh, that is the Holy Spirit. Ever fresh, ever new, constantly flowing, never ending. And that's exactly what happens with us. When we begin to walk in the Spirit, we are overflowed with the Spirit of God. It never ends, because God wants us to pour it right back out, to give it away, to give Him away. It's not an it. He is a He, and His name is the Holy Spirit. And like a river, He overflows through our lives into the lives of everyone around us if we'll let Him. But we need to walk with Him. We need to be filled so we can walk. We need to be filled so we can witness. We need to be filled so we can find those acts of service. We need to be filled that we can find joy. But we also need to be filled that we may be led by the Holy Spirit. Because you can walk with the Holy Spirit in you, but I don't know about you, I just don't want to walk with Him. I want Him to have control over my life, right? How about you? Do you want Him to have control over your life? We need to be filled with Him in such a way that we hear His voice. And we don't even question, you know, well, are you sure that was God? Yeah, I want to know that I know that I know. Okay? The Scripture says, I tell you these things so you might wander, right? No. The Scripture says, I tell you these things so that you may know. And I want you to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, the sheep of my pasture, what? Hear my voice, right? That implies what? That we have to know it. So we need to know Him that we may be led. Turn in your Scriptures to Romans 8 and 14. This is my, well, almost my last Scripture of the day. Romans 8 and 14. Romans 8 and 14. And this is why I'm ending here with this and then moving on. What does it say? I want you to read it to me. I want you to read it to me. I'll give you the first word so you're all saying it together, all right? Are you ready? Now let me find it again. Because what does it say there? You are what? You are sons of God. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you are sons of God. Now, ladies, I know you don't want to hear that, but you understand the language of the Scriptures, right? It's masculine, and it takes everyone into consideration. So if you are led by the Spirit, I'm going to change it just a minute, you know. You are children of God. You are His children. And He is your Father. And in that response, everything that He has, this is something you need to understand, everything that He has is whose? Yours. Because He's given it to you. As children, everything the Father has is yours. He gave everything that He had to Jesus, didn't He? And if we're one of His children, do you think He's going to hold anything back from us? No. He's going to give us everything too. Brothers and sisters, when we walk in God, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are led by the Spirit of God, we are led right into the very heart of God. We are led right into His family. There's no better place to be. None of us could ever desire such a better spot. For all of creation and everything that we don't see, I want you to think about that. How much is out there that we don't see? Everything, created and uncreated, the things that are spirit, those are the things I'm speaking of, are all ours in Christ Jesus. So the question I have for you today is, how many of you know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Thank you for being honest, because I'm going to teach you right now. I want you to open your Bibles to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And for those of you out there listening, I pray that you are turning to that very scripture yourselves, because this is a reality. This is not something I make up. This is the Lord our God talking to us. And we need Him. John chapter 7, beginning in verse 37 through 38. Are you ready? Listen to this. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Back me off a little bit, guys. I'm really ringing up here. "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up until that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. You see, when the Apostle John wrote this, he was thinking back. This is one of the few places in Scripture where John reflects back and teaches us something from the very words of God. Because when we drink from that eternal water, when we take it in, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, when we drink from Him, we will never thirst again. And this is what it means. Number one, we need to desire Him. We need to desire Him. If anyone is thirsty, come unto me. We need to desire to have that thirst quenched. Okay? We need to desire Him. And once we have desired Him, then we need to ask Him. Okay? We need to ask Him. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to come into us, to fill us. Okay? Many of us say, "Oh, Holy Spirit, come on to me. You know, dwell in me." Well, that's wonderful. He's going to do that. But now you need Him to fill you up. That means submitting your will to Him. Okay? This is all part and parcel. Think back what I taught you. An abundant life is a life of service, right? Yielded up to God. Guess what you're doing right here? You're yielding it up to Him. You're giving Him your life. So you ask Him into your life. You say, "Lord Jesus, I want that water." Now, is He going to pour a cup in front of you? This is spiritual stuff, right? So if you have desired Him and you have asked Him to fill you, what's the next step? You need to receive it. You need to believe it. Okay? Believe that you have received. It's the same with wisdom. God says, "Any man who lacketh wisdom, ask, and you shall receive." Now you're to go as though you have received it, right? In other words, remembering that the Holy Spirit's here and He's going to guide me into all these things, and I need to submit myself to Him. So once that happens, it's desire Him, ask Him, and believe that you have received it, and now go living that life differently. Knowing the word of truth. Knowing that you're not your own any longer. Which means what? When a situation comes up, you just act? No. When a situation comes up, you ask the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, what should I do? What direction am I to take? Show me, teach me, lead me." Because again, how often does the Holy Spirit fill us? How often does the Holy Spirit fill us? How often does the Holy Spirit fill us? Over and over and over and over again, like a river. It's constantly flowing in and flowing out, flowing in and flowing out. We are not a reservoir. You can't store it up. We have got to let Him come in and out and through our lives into this world. Because that's spirit life. Desire, ask, and believe. It's that simple. But yet, because it's so simple, how difficult is it to do? It's not. For me, I think it's one of the most amazing things. It's why Miss Sally and I get to get together every 2 weeks and sit down and look at what we're doing. And then we come in every Sunday and we look at our discipleship lessons. And it's like, oh my gosh, Lord, you're just teaching this from a different scripture. Yep. I want you all to understand, God is showing me just how Spirit-filled life can truly be. When we are yielded up to Him, He ties all the knots together, and you cannot unseparate them. It is a tapestry that is so beautiful, it is unexplainable, because the thread that runs through it, the thread that is unseen, and you know what? I want you to think about something. What thread is the most important thread in a tapestry? Is it the thread that you see? Or is it the thread that when you turn it around, it's that ugly thread? It's that thread that's all knotted up in the back. It's that thread that's been scarred. It's that thread that took the nail piercing in his hands, and it took the crown of thorns in his head, and the spear in his side, and the nails in his feet. Because it's the ugly thread. It's the thread that was tortured. It was the thread that was twisted. It was the thread that was knotted that holds it all together. That when we look at our lives and we see it from the finished picture, we see the beauty therein, because God took the punishment when we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and begin to live that life of holiness. We see the tapestry of life and we understand that the beauty therein is because He suffered on our behalf. The thread that holds it all together, the thread that pours it all out, because He is truly our drink offering. And every communion we take of the cup, and we are filled up. So my question to you today is this: will you drink Him in? Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank You so much that You truly do give us abundant life. And Lord, You expect us to work with You in this life, to submit to You and to walk with You and to be led by You, to seek You out in all ways, in all manners, that You may be glorified through our lives, that You may truly be seen as God Most High. For Lord, we've put ourselves and our things so high over You. But Lord, we want to be changed. We want to be made anew. We want to receive from You. So Lord, we drink You in even now. And Lord, I know there are folks here right now who are saying that very same thing. Lord, I want to drink You in. Lord, I want You to fill me up. I want to live that life. I want to live Your life. So Father, I just pray even now that as You are moving in their lives, that they would sense and know and understand Your will to be filled with Your Spirit. May You show them truly the abundant life, the life that is filled with purpose, power, joy, and yes, Lord, glory. Glory to return to You. For these things we give Thee thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen.